Welcome to Leadership Reimagined, Episode 12. Inez LeBeau of Enterprise Transformation Solutions and I discuss the importance of vision, culture, and goals for growing your business. During each episode, we look at leadership from the vantage point of what it's going to take for leaders to lead their organizations forward into a new future. I'm Dr. Jane Lovis, your host. If you're looking to reimagine your leadership, I would love to help you and your team. Go to reimagineyourleadership.com and I'll call you. We'll have fun and expand your business at the same time. Good afternoon, Inez. How are you doing today?
I am doing great. Thank you very much for doing this podcast together today.
Well, thank you. So would you like to introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about you?
Sure. My name is Inez LeBeau, and I was born in Argentina. And at the age of 10, we came to America. So I was brought up by a family of entrepreneurs. And that's what I saw during my growing up years, right? I would work in the restaurant every summer from the age of 10, and I learned really all the principles of running a business, you know, communications and process and procedures, and the customer comes first. That was my mother's mantra. Since ever I can remember, she's still in my head. And you know, her whole point was we needed to get an education because no one can take that away from you. So I went to American University. I have 3 degrees from there. And when I started my career, I started in the satellite and technology area, which I had absolutely zero experience since my degrees were in languages and linguistics and administration. And so I was interviewed for that position, and they said, by the way, this is a satellite company and you're going to be a program manager. And so I got into my car and I went, oh my God, what's a satellite and what is a program manager? But fearless that I am, and my mother taught us to be fearless and self-reliant, I went back the next morning and said, sure, I'll take that position. And it was the best thing that ever happened to me. I really lucked out because they gave me, as my first program management job, a position that that was Greenfield. And we were building a whole network. So here I am, you know, with my degrees, and I'm learning about construction, and I'm learning about, they sent me to GW, so I did take classes in satellite and engineering and so forth. And to my surprise, I was really good in engineering because the actual study of language, not just the spoken word, is very, very technical. And so there's a whole mathematical rhythm to it. So when I went and took all my engineering classes, I realized, you know, I can do this. So what happened then for the next 35 years, I had a partner, and the two of us were recruited by venture private equity and boards to turn companies around. These were companies who had really low valuations, and the owners of these companies wanted to exit. And so how are they going to do that? It was impossible. So my partner and I were recruited in. And actually in that time frame, we were recruited into 12 companies and we exited 9 successfully. I did learn through that whole process that change and turnaround management and reengineering was in my DNA. It's sort of like, you know, the before and after picture. Mm-hmm. I watch all those shows. You know, I see the before and it's a mess, and then the after. And I can pretty much at this time in my career, you can tell me a problem and I can see the solution. Because the issues in the workforce in corporations are finite, they're not infinite. So you're able to hone in and focus on those. We sold our last company in 2015, and I decided that I did not want to go back into a company. So I started my company, Enterprise Transformation Solutions, and I named it that because we're going to be transformation means to transform from within, right? Transformation from within. And that's what you do when you're going to a company. You have to change and transform from within. And I work with enterprise clients and come up with solutions for them. So since I started my company, I have a couple things. One of them is I prepare entrepreneurs for funding, and prepare is the operative word. So there is a 12-step process to get you even ready that you need to follow. You know, it includes business plans and, you know, what's your value proposition? Why are you even doing this? A lot of times I work with entrepreneurs, and after we go through that, they go, I guess I don't have a company. So you know, we do the marketing competition, you know, what's your problem, what's the challenge, how are you unique. So I do that kind of work with my clients. I'm agnostic to whether they're in bio or, you know, what IoT or fintech or whatever area, because the fundamentals of building and starting a company are all the same. And we learn over time. Investors, all of my entrepreneurs are really interested in telling you about their product, right? And they want to do slide after slide. And the sad reality is that my venture friends, they say to me, I don't care about their product, you know? I don't need to know their product. There's an awesome quote from Warren Buffett in his last meeting that he had. And he said, you know, for me to invest in Apple, I don't need to know the coding of how it works. I just need to know that I'm going to make money. So that's the reality. So that's one part of it. And the other part of my business, I am a partner with Tian Wang, who has an organization called Connectpreneur. That organization has been around for 8 years. He's had 400 different events. And this year we went virtual. And it's an amazing showcase for the entrepreneurs. We have investors in the audience. We do polling for our investors. And our whole goal, as well as our Connectpreneur goal and my goal, is to get you funded. Right? Mm-hmm. That's our whole goal. So that's my current mission. I do have some clients that I work with that I am doing turnaround management with. It's painful, but, you know, I'll give you an example. I had a client that I worked with for 2 years. It's really not a quick fix, right?
Yeah.
And when I started with them, they were at 3 million, and they ended last year at $10 million.
Wow. That's a turnaround.
Yeah. So I feel I am really, I mentor and coach you, but I'm not going to do the work for you.
Right.
So, you know, there are a lot of consultants who will do the, you will not learn. I feel like I'm a teacher. You will not learn if you don't do it yourself.
Exactly.
Right. But I will guide you step by step through.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. That's, you are just doing some great things. And I know we had talked earlier about the importance of culture and that you wanted to share some things about the importance of culture. And I think that's one of the most important topics that we can discuss, because you can have everything else so right, and if your culture is out of alignment, your organization's going to suffer.
Well, exactly right. So Herodotus, the ancient Greek intellectual, he's known as the father of history. Actually, he invented history. I mean, he invented the concept of history going 400 and some BC back. He coined the phrase culture is king, which, you know, we've all used and we've all heard. And the reality is that companies rise and fall based on their culture. And challenging situations like we're facing today here in 2020, test your company culture to determine if it's real or is it just a facade. Mm-hmm. So the answer is yes, you can survive in this current situation, even thrive, right? Including COVID and beyond. But it's leadership driven.
Yeah.
The culture has to be leadership driven. So this is not normal times. You know, I have another quote I want to share with you. Culture does not change because we desire to change it. Culture changes when the organization is transformed, you know, transformation. Mm-hmm. The culture reflects the realities of people working together every day. That's what culture is, the reality of working together, right? So here, there are a few core values, right, that we have to emphasize. There are a few core values as managers in running companies. I'm going to just first tell you what they are, and I'll go back. One of them is two-way communication. The second one is engagement. The third one is having an organizational model. Wellness and balance, and program and tools. Mm-hmm. So it's basically, it's your employees, your communication, your customers, your process, your procedures, right? And execution.
Yep.
And providing, you know, that leadership. So before I want to just say something, because of COVID, 88% of the companies either shut down or they required their employees to work from home. 88%.
Yeah.
And it was like that, you know, it was overnight, right? And obviously, many, many companies were ill prepared for this kind of shift. And the reason had nothing to do with COVID. The reason had to do because they did not have their core in place to begin with.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So it is if they didn't interact with their employees, you know, speaking, listening to their employees before this happened, this just exacerbated the whole situation. Right? Communication is, two-way communication is key to success, whether in our personal relationships or whether in our work, right? So the idea of engagement from an employee perspective. So 70 to 80% of all working Americans are not happy in their jobs.
I know.
Right. Yeah. And so now here we are, we have these unhappy employees, right?
Yep.
And now you're telling them that you're now going to be working from home.
Mm-hmm.
And we've heard everything about that, right? We've heard, you know, I'm working home, my dog, we were all crowded together. We're worried. We're worried. A lot of them are, you know, this gig economy workers. They don't know how they're going to pay the rent and all of that. And then you have employers who are like, well, I need you to focus now.
Yeah.
But if you didn't have that, that interaction, that caring and of your employees to begin with, you know, that before they were valued, that your employees were valued and they were engaged, that they were empowered, right, and accountable, and that they knew your strategy and goals,
mm-hmm.
right? This makes everything even worse, right?
Right. Well, think about, you've got all your employees in your office and you never talk to them. You never, as the leader, you're not talking to them. You're not sharing your vision. You're not sharing, you know, what's important to you. You're not acknowledging them. And then COVID hits and they have to go home. And what's the conversation that they hear? You need to focus and do your work.
Yeah. Well, you see, one of the things I wanted to tell you about that the employees don't know your strategy and goals. So in the 12 companies that my partner and I went into,
mm-hmm.
we found that the majority of our employees did not know what the company did. That they would come into work and they would sit in their cube and do, you know, whatever that designated work, and they would go home. Only when I would talk to them about who we are, what the company did, who our clients were, and I held them accountable. Only they were really engaged then. You know, there's no transparency in companies in America today where all the employees know what the revenue is. Or the revenue goals for the week, for the month, for the quarter. You know what's interesting to me is we're all adults. In our private lives, we have homes, we have responsibilities, and yet we get to work and we're treated like morons, right?
Yeah. I bet if you took a look at the virtual schooling that kids are doing and the virtual working, the kids are being held more accountable and more responsible and have more information on why they're doing this than the adults working for these companies. And yet employees want to be engaged. They want to know that there's something bigger that they're contributing to.
So let me give you some data. So if we build a community of employees, right, if we value and engage them and they feel empowered and they know who their company is, who doesn't want to, you know?
Right.
The data has shown that there's an increase in revenue of 21%. There is a productivity improvement of 22%. And a customer satisfaction of 23%.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know why? Because I see it. I saw it when I came in, right? And we had to turn it around. They made a contest out of, you know, I would tell them the revenue for the month. And then I gave them, you know, whatever. So they would be the employee of the month or, you know, we gave them a gift card, right? Mm-hmm. Wow. Who would think, though, frankly, as adults, we would. But in many ways, we're like little kids, and we want to be acknowledged, and we want to be recognized, and we want people to say, hey, I see you, right?
That's so important, yeah, that being seen. People are not just cogs in a wheel.
Exactly. I did a research, and Harvard Business Review found that This is all of America, right? Only 40% of employees, only 40% out of, you know, all the people working knew the company goals, strategies, and tactics.
Yeah. It's a big secret of what your company is trying to create. And think of then, what is like the one easy thing? I mean, it's not easy, but it's one simple thing that you can do to get a return of a 20% return. Doesn't cost you anything except your time and being out there communicating and sharing with your employees.
Exactly right. They should know every day, every week, every month, you know, there is no such thing as an unimportant job. That's always been my message. So when I would sit in the cube and I saw these disgruntled people and they were just like data entry, and I would explain to them why doing that particular task was so big, because it affects upflow, downflow. And then when they, and you have to repeat, you know, repetition is the key to learning.
Right.
And when you do that and you get everybody on board, it's amazing. That's why I personally love turnaround work.
Mm-hmm.
Because you watch that transformation.
Absolutely.
When people are engaged. I found, and the data shows, that the root of job dissatisfaction are two things. One, obviously, is the management, right? And the lack of leadership competency. You know, it's like, there was a book, oh my God, in 69, I think, called The Peter Principle.
Mm-hmm.
And his point was, I don't know if you remember, I'll never forget it to the day I die.
Oh, yeah.
Because exactly right. People get promoted to their level of incompetence. So his example was, so you're the best salesperson, you know, in that car dealership, and then they decide to make you a manager. Well, you can't be, what do you know about people and process and communication?
Right.
You just know how to go sell that car, you know?
Yep.
So that is, and also their team, by the way, the peer dynamics,
yep,
plays a key role. But the management really is, actually the way the management treats employees is the model with which employees treat customers.
Yes. And each other.
That's why it said the peer, right?
Yeah.
It's like the manager is giving them permission to act out or to do the things in the workplace.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really kind of scary, you know, stuff. So I'll tell you when now, here are some signs for all companies when you're having problems. Your employees don't know your why. Right, is an easier way to say they don't know what you do.
Yeah.
Right. Simon Sinek's. The employees don't know goals, objectives of the company. They don't understand the customer expectation. One of the things I found in every company is everybody's so internally focused that they forget that we are doing this work. Who pays your paycheck? The customer, right?
Right.
I found they all have cop attitudes about the customer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it, focusing internally rather than, you know, internally, it all plays together, right? So it's, that is like the key to the kingdom as far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Your employees are your company.
Yeah.
And your customers will not love your company unless your employees love it first.
Right.
And it's interesting, you know, Virgin, mm-hmm. what's his name from Virgin?
Richard Branson.
You know what he said? I'm sure you know. He said, I don't care about my customers. I care about my employees. And if I take care of my employees, they will take care of my customers.
Exactly. That is so good, because in so many companies, employees have no contact with the customers. They're like in this little bubble and they complain about the customer's demands. They complain about and all they get it is from like the product team or the sales team or somebody else. And yet without the customers, there is no business.
Exactly.
And without the for the CEO, for the leadership, without the employees, there is no business, because the CEO, even if they had this world's greatest idea, cannot do it by themselves. They can.
Yeah, go ahead. No, I wanted to tell you, so who does the work? You know, in if you have the right leadership and guidance and people know what they're supposed to be doing and all those sets of things, your people are your company. They do the work. These CEOs, they talk. I've been in a million meetings. They talk about their financials and all that. Who cares? There is no financials. You know, there is execution, right? Mm-hmm. And if the people don't execute, there is no revenue. So you know what? You better pay attention to your people.
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. So the second thing I wanted to just talk on communication again. George Bernard Shaw, he said the single biggest problem in communication is the illusion that it's taken place.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like, I transmit, you receive. and this is a whole, I studied this process. It's very complicated with your brain and how interactions take place physically. But you need to stop and listen, right?
Right.
So what do we do? In our head, we're already 10 steps away. I didn't hear a word you said to me.
Yeah, And most of us act as though I spoke. Communication has happened. There's no acknowledgement. Did the person even receive? It's I spoke. I said it, so communication happened. And no, all that happened was you spoke. Communication mm-hmm. is a process.
It is the umbrella.
Yes.
That covers all factors across.
Yeah.
Not only our private lives, but, you know, around business as well. It just covers, and it needs to be clear and concise and two-way communication is what plugs the entire organization in. It plugs them into strategy, goals, impact to the customer, financial performance.
Yeah.
Right. The keywords are concise, two-way communication. You know, it's really critical that people, and I keep saying this because I learned it since I'm a little kid. Repetition is the key to learning, right?
Yeah.
You have to repeat it and repeat it. Because I learned foreign languages, right? Since mm-hmm. I'm a little kid, I speak four languages. And three were just, I was, you know, born with the three, so to speak, and one I learned. But I know that in order for me to have learned French, it was the repetition of it.
Right.
Right. And then people don't, instruction to people need to be in writing and verbally and communicated and re-communicated and communicated, right? Until they say to you, I hear you.
Yeah. If you're saying that, well, they should know this. You've already. How do you know that they should know that? I hear that all the time. Well, they should know how to do this. How should they know? And it's your responsibility to ensure that you know that they know how to do it.
I am not in your head and you're not in my head. So you have to transmit, I have to receive, and vice versa. And
yeah.
One of the keys that I learned a long time ago was I would have if it was absolutely critical, right? I would say, what did you hear me say? Mm-hmm. And you know what? 80% of the time, it's not what I just said. They're standing right there in front of me. So it's very important. We learn this in our private life as well, that we need to make sure that we're communicating.
Yeah, because people have, because you can say certain things and use certain words, and they've got a whole context behind what you're saying from how they grew up, their last boss, their this. So what they heard you say has oftentimes no bearing to what you actually said, because they've translated it into based on their experiences.
Exactly. You're dead on. That's exactly right, Jane. So from a health check for communication is the company strategy and everyone's role communicated clearly? That's a problem. We didn't talk about that. They come in the interview and they get one job, and then you put them in a cube, and that's not the job, you know, that they interviewed for. It happens more than not. Mm-hmm. And of course, it always was a responsibility when you went to interview for a job to make sure that you clearly understood, you know, what that was, and not be afraid, because if they can't define it for you, then you shouldn't work there.
Right.
How well are changes to policy, pricing, etc., communicated to customers and to the internal employees, right?
Mm-hmm.
And does communication flow both ways? I was one company that my partner and I went in. Oh my gosh, we walked in the door and we had almost a riot, because the previous team had made a change to their health plan and never told them.
Oh, God.
You know, so you walk in one day and they didn't know. So I was like so blindsided, but then we looked into it and we would communicate, because these companies were all distressed. One company, my partner and I, bought out of bankruptcy. So we would talk to them almost every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And once we stabilized, it was once a week, no matter what, you know, so they knew, you know, what was going on. So one of the things, you know, the third, this stool here, just customers, you know, companies really don't understand customer expectations and value that they get from, let's say, your product and service, because you didn't get a good job. And if you're not communicating with your client and you have a contract, you better believe your competition is right behind you.
Yeah.
So it's just something that, you know, I personally learned from an early age. When I was in the restaurant, I'm a little kid, right? I was 10, 11, and I got so mad at these, you know, it was a restaurant, right? And I get all angry, and my mother would say, the customer's always right. And she said that with a straight face, you know, and she meant it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I learned that really early on. All these tenets and everything, you know, my mother was pretty instrumental and really admired their, you know, entrepreneurship and ability to pivot. That's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
2020, you have to pivot, but your core values need to still be there.
Right. That's, and you go into most organizations, and if you ask them what are their core values, nobody knows, and you couldn't even define them by saying, oh, well, it must be communication, because they communicate all the time with us and they communicate. So communication must be one of them. No, you'll hear I think they're innovation and transformation. Well, did they do it? No, we're stuck in the old way. So really your core value, your culture is stuck in the old ways.
I know. So you know, how do you know if a customer isn't satisfied, right? For one thing, you're going to see your revenue eroding.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Your revenue is eroding. I found that the majority of the executives are not talking to their customers. Executives.
Yep.
I think some of them rather chew glass than make a phone call to a customer, right? Are your customers referring others to you? That's a key indicator.
Yeah.
And do they complain about the same issues? Mm-hmm. So that means no one is listening, yeah. Right? So those are, you know, pretty much the keys as we talk about, you know, the customers.
Right.
So just briefly, I want to talk to you about process.
Mm-hmm.
So here's my analogy. So a business is like an orchestra. So you have a conductor and you have the players and you have a script, right? And so what happens when the orchestra, you have one or two people there who decide, you know what, I'm going to play my own thing here, right? I'm going to do my own thing. Well, you have dissonance, mm-hmm. right? So it's really critical that the leadership be the conductor and make sure that people understand there's a playbook. There's a playbook for them so they know how to conduct their work.
Yeah.
I don't know, Jane, but how many companies you go in and they have no process and procedure for people?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. One of the stories that I share that people can really relate to is, okay, you've shared your vision. We're all going to California and we're going to be there by this date and we're going to all drive. So the process is to drive. And you get to California and half your team's in San Francisco and the other half of the team is in San Diego because you weren't specific. You left out half the communications. They didn't know. They got a glimpse of it. And that's probably what they get on your website is, here's our vision. And now here's your job. And they don't know what that really means.
So when my son was little, as probably all of us, I watched Sesame Street. And there was, just to show you, I'll never forget the segment. There was a segment called The King's Picnic. So the king decided that the kingdom was going to have a picnic. So he goes out on the balcony and says, okay, tomorrow we're all going to have a picnic. So, okay, next day, everybody showed up with watermelon. Everybody, the whole kingdom had watermelon. And then it was no, no, no. And so now they established process and who's going to bring what. And then we had a successful
thing. Yeah, yeah, exactly. That same kind of
thing. It's such a simple analogy, you know, yeah. but to your driving, like I tell every day my clients, we need to have a roadmap. We need a detailed implementable plan. It's like you're going to get in your car. Well, if you don't have that destination and the step-by-step, how do you know when you got there?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
San Diego and San Francisco are a long ways away. If you have people that end up there in those different, it's not like, oh, we sort of missed it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, success is tied to process maturity.
Yep.
You know, how you are you, you know, in the beginning when you start a brand new company, you might do fly by the seat of the pants and everybody does everything. Been there, done that. I've done that. My partner and I did a couple of those startups. But once we it wasn't sustainable. So,
no.
You know, we had to have process and structure and everybody needs to know their role. because it's the pieces that become, you know, the whole that you know, come together.
Absolutely.
So it becomes really critical, right? And there's no consistency of quality, right? Or service delivery. It impacts your clients, right?
And it impacts your employees, because employees tend to get stuck in jobs because, no, we can't promote you because you're the only one that knows this job. Well, I don't want to be the only one that does this job. I want to, you know. So, yeah.
Exactly right. That is a kiss of death for you, right? It's just horrible. We need to have process and procedures. Anyway, from the top down, we need to have a plan. It can't be just one person in case that person dies or, you know, gets ill or, you know, something happens. So you need to be equipped with a roadmap. Make sure your input and outputs align and that you're measuring your performance.
Yep.
Metrics, right?
Yes.
Become pretty critical. Mm-hmm. So your why is your centerpiece and your guiding principle of your strategic vision.
Yep.
You know, it's the core of what you do. Why this company, right? Why are you doing this? What is the reason for this company?
Yeah.
So that is the core. And are your values aligned with your mission, goals, strength, and opportunities? Mm-hmm. And does your team have a script to follow up, to follow this vision effectively?
Yeah.
So for me, it's like a complete circle, and it all is tied. It's really enmeshed together.
Yeah.
Right? You can't do one without the other. It's all tied to be a successful company, right?
Right.
So if you can't articulate why this company, there are times where the management is misaligned with the employees. We talked about that.
Yeah.
And if your customers don't experience what you claim is your mission.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Right, exactly. So execution is everything. Execution is everything. So when I work with my investors, they care about who's your team. This is what our conversation, who's your team?
Yeah. They're
your company, they're your employees. Who's your competition? Do you know your why? And do you know who's out there, right? Mm-hmm. I did a consulting job for a company who was a $22 million company. And he was just, oh, look at my company, you know, and everything. And he wasn't paying attention at all. And he got complacent. And his competition ate his lunch. And by the time I came in, he was down to $10 million. It's the hardest turnaround where you have to invent yourself with, you know, your product and services. But you have to be relentless, mm-hmm. right, in your focus and paying attention. And the third thing for investors is, how are they going to get their money back?
Right.
And, of course, all these companies that we're talking about, they all have owners,
mm-hmm.
right? They all have owners, boards, or, you know, equity companies, or someone who's, you know, going to hold them accountable.
Right, right. Yeah, because what you were saying about execution is so critical. I mean, that's where it all happens. And it all happens because you're clear about your why. You've got the processes in place. You've got the goals. You've got, because if otherwise you're just out there swinging a bat. You're, you know, okay, we're taking action every single day, but nobody knows. And that's why companies just kind of flail around, and they'll have a really great quarter because they happen to connect. And then the next quarter, sales are down and they don't understand why, because they don't have all of that connected together.
So sort of as a summation is today with this workforce, with this disruption, I would say that if you do not have these five keys in place before, it's going to be a tough ride, right? It's going to be really difficult. That framework is what is critical. So you might have to use this opportunity to reinvent yourself.
Absolutely.
And include your employees, because you know, whether you're at a physical location or you're at home, I just think it's really reimagining. You need to reimagine how the company operates, mm-hmm. and you need to rethink that those core values that contributed to the culture can be dealt with in just as important to strategizing over.
Yeah. Well, this has been great. So glad that we had this conversation. And so if somebody wanted to reach out to you and connect with you and find out more about these five, how can they get hold of you?
My email is ilebow@transformationsolutions.pro. And my phone number is 314-578-0958. And you can go to my LinkedIn or my website, which is transformationsolutions.pro.
Great. Well, thank you, Inez. And this has been fabulous.
Thank you, Jane, for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us this week on Leadership Reimagined. Now is the time to reimagine your leadership. Take a minute and go to reimagineyourleadership.com and I'll call you. We'll have powerful conversations. You'll take action. Yes, there are always actions to take. Your business will expand, and I guarantee you'll have fun at the same time. I know, shouldn't it be fun? If it's not fun, why are you doing it?